Welcome to episode 11 of the Hockey News on the Dub podcast, brought to you by BetMGM. I'm Carol Schramm, and with me is our WHL expert, Liz Child, as always. In today's episode, we'll take a look at the midterm draft rankings from NHL Central Scouting. We'll dig into some players from the Everett Silvertips and the Victoria Royals in our three stars of the week and our goalie spotlight. We'll run down the Montreal Canadiens as our NHL team of the week. And of course, we'll finish up by checking in on the latest heroics from our boy, Connor Bedard. How's your week, Liz? How you been?
It's been great. We're getting ready for, we have a post-game concert after tomorrow's Barracuda game. So that's really exciting. We're holding like a full concert in the arena. It's going to be interesting for sure, but I think it's going to be a fun night. And then with the WHL, it's just been a lot of fun getting ready for the top prospects game and just kind of getting ready and following along of like everyone's coming back from juniors, everyone who just got reassigned, seeing how everyone's doing. It's been a lot of fun and I cannot wait for the rest of the season. Even though, at the same time, I'm like, slow down. We're good.
I know. It feels like everything's coming up really quickly. The WHL playoffs always seem to start way earlier than I'm expecting. So they're going to be here before we know it. As you mentioned, I'm really looking forward to top prospects next week. I will be on hand and out in Langley. And I'm assuming there are going to be 39 players that will actually be really excited to talk to the media and one other guy who is just going to endure what gets thrown his way. So we'll see how that goes. I'm going to try and make sure I get some conversation with some of the others as well as Bedard. Also had a WHL sighting last night at the Canucks game. Thomas Milich was in the stands to watch his hometown team. And our resident goalie expert, Kevin Woodley, was out during the intermissions running around the arena trying to track him down so he could talk with him. So that was kind of a cool Dub moment / goalie moment. And it was great to see Milich on the Jumbotron at the game there on a crazy night when we had the Canucks honoring Gino Ogic after his passing last week and unveiling their new third skate jerseys, which happened to be sort of based off of the 90s when Gino played. So that all kind of juxtaposed together. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning had no interest in being forgotten in all of this. So Stamkos just went out and got a hat trick and became the third active player to hit the 500 goal mark. No big deal. They've won five in a row now. They're ahead of Toronto in points percentage. The top players are like healthy and amazing again. So don't sleep on Tampa Bay through the second half of the season is all I have to say about that. Anyways, let's get into our WHL headlines for this week, starting with NHL Central Scouting. Of course, they released their midterm rankings last Friday. And once again, we can puff up our chests with pride because the WHL was massively well represented. And I listened to a bit of the OHL podcast today, and they were sort of lamenting that they don't, they're like, it's not like the OHL is like the Dub this year. So, it's kind of fun.
Sorry about that.
I'm counting 11 skaters from the Dub in the North American top 30 skaters and five goalies in the top 15 North American goalies. So
that number's a little low. We'll talk about that in a second, but that number's a little low.
Yeah. Number one, obviously, is no surprise, and we'll get to him in a bit. And I think you know who I'm talking about. I was curious to hear who you think is the player that stands out to you as being ranked higher than you expected, and who's the player who's ranked lower.
Yeah, sorry about that. I'm using kind of a general like meeting room. So everyone's kind of like, hi, is this you? Okay. Right now I have, and I hate saying this, and I feel like a lot of people know I love him, this player, to death. I'm very excited. I fully think that, he's going to go in this draft. It's going to be absolutely fantastic for him. And, by the end of the year, he could very well be in this position for me or maybe even higher. But I think Nico Mijatovic, ranked at 47 among North American skaters, is a little high. And it's just enough for me to be like, it's just a little too much. But at the same time, it's one of those, like, he could be perfectly deserving. But for me right now, just looking at this list, and there's a couple guys on this list where I'm just like, okay, but he's one that kind of stands out to me where I'm just like, I want to say that you absolutely need to be there or higher, but it's at the same time, like, my realistic brain is going, it just doesn't feel right just yet. But again, I'm fully expecting and fully hoping, you know, that the Sharks draft him and he comes here. And I'm looking forward to that. I think I posted a couple weeks ago. I was like, I can't wait for the Sharks to draft Nico Mayadovic just for me.
Like, nice. Yeah. And who do you think deserves more love?
We already talked about him, Thomas Milich. What the heck he's doing all the way down at 25 on North American goaltenders. After the performance he put on at World Juniors, after the playoffs last season with Seattle, after the season he had at the start of this year, before World Juniors even, how on earth is he not higher? Like, how is he not in your top 10? There's a couple goaltenders, and I'm not going to name names because I don't like tearing anyone down, but there's a couple goaltenders on that list where I look at it and I'm like, I don't understand why you're ahead of Thomas Milich. Like, you're a fantastic goaltender, don't get me wrong. It's just when you look at all of the everything that has gone in through the season and just past play in general, it's one of those Thomas Milich is ranked ridiculously low. And it is one of those where I think even on our notes, I had said, you know, he's one of four goaltenders in the top 32 for North American goaltenders who is under 6'1". And again, I feel like, again, anyone who knows me knows that my favorite saying is goalie heights don't matter. As much as people like to fight me on that and be like, oh, but it does. The skill of the goalie, especially in situations like this, is going to be far and away more helpful, I think. Just me. It's okay. But it's just one of those, you can have the tallest goalie in the world, but they still have to have that skill. And a 6-foot goaltender versus a 6-foot-1 goaltender isn't going to make that much of a difference if that 6-foot goaltender is going to outperform everyone else.
For sure. The other thing I thought was interesting in the notes that you made there is I hadn't noticed that they have Scott Ratzlaff listed at 6 feet on that central scouting listing, because HockeyDB has him at 6'2", and the WHL website has him at 6'2" as well. So I'm not sure if that's a typo or if Scott has somehow lost ground.
What I have personally noticed is that HockeyDB, Elite Prospects, and the WHL site tends to list guys a smidge taller. Where I'm just sitting there and I'm like, some of them, I'm like, I've stood next to you and I am 5'5", and there is no way you're 6'2". There's no way you're like 6 foot. Like, there's a couple skaters where I'm just like, unless you had a growth spurt recently, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
But
so we won't find out until the combine when they get to do the heights and weights for real. And
unless they're in playoffs.
I guess we'll see how it all shakes down. But I'm interested to see the mystery of Scott Ratzlaff's height revealed at some point in the next few months before we get to draft day. Combined, we'll talk about the three stars and the goalies together, because it's a big, magical hodgepodge of Everett Silvertips and Victoria Royals players, and are starting off with our third star for this week at right wing from Everett is Ben Hemmerling.
Yes, basically, if we were to name this episode, and I think I made a joke of it, it would literally just be the Everett Silvertips and Victoria Royals special, because this week it's, you know, a lot of love for them. But Ben Hemmerling, you know, he suffered a minor injury against Prince George back on January 6th. So he sat out a few games, came back last night and had a 4-point night like nothing ever happened. It was his best game of the season. He looked great. You know, he had a good game, and it was just one of those, he was sitting out for a few games, and, you know, you sometimes think maybe ease back into it, especially if you're coming back from an injury or something. And he was like, nah, I don't want to do that. He looked great against Lethbridge yesterday, and it's been a really good year for him. You know, after getting drafted last year by Vegas, which I'm in San Jose, so I'm not going to say too much, but I was very excited about him getting drafted by Vegas, and I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do this year. And so far he has not disappointed.
Now Everett and Tri-City are kind of duking it out for third and fourth place in the U.S. division right now. Is that sort of what you were expecting this season? Like, where is Everett compared to what you thought was going to happen?
It was absolutely not what I was expecting. You know, Everett, I think, has kind of gotten that feeling of, all right, they sold at the deadline very clearly. They said, let's stack up for the next 2-3 years. I think this year they're just kind of like, if we make playoffs, cool. If we don't make playoffs, next year's our year. They're kind of looking at what Seattle did, what Kamloops did, and they went, that's a big price to pay. Let's just sell. And when all of these teams and all of our biggest rivals are struggling a little bit to kind of pick it back up, we're going to be just fine. But even so, they're still, they're, like you said, they're hanging in there. They're still in the top four. Tri-City kind of came back, and I think they've got their confidence going a little bit. After talking to some of the guys earlier this season, that was the big thing, is they wanted a little bit of a win streak, and that confidence that they got just has been doing everything for them. Plus, you know, Nick Avakian is having a big year for himself, and then on top of that, you have guys like Tomáš Suchánek, who's a phenomenal goaltender and now has a team in front of him who's helping boost that. And it's not like it's, oh, he's saving the team. He certainly has done that in the past in recent years, but then this year it's definitely, hey, the team is helping him, he's helping the team. I don't think anyone was expecting Tri-City to be at this point already, but I'm very excited that they are.
Yeah, and both those teams are in pretty good shape in terms of making the playoffs, with Spokane being where they are, but we'll just leave that there, right? Now, second star, also from Everett. Our boy Hammerling is third in team scoring, and our second star is second in team scoring, and that would be another right winger, Jackson Berezowski.
Yeah, so I mean, we recorded our last episode on the 12th, but I went back to the 11th just for the sake of, this is incredible. But from the 11th to the 14th, in three games, he picked up 8 goals and 4 assists, and that is absolutely just one of those. That's what you expect from Connor Bedard when you're looking at a 3-game streak. So I mean, when you have another player picking up Connor Bedard numbers, you kind of have to give him some props on that. And he's looked fantastic. He's been one of those guys, I think, for the last couple of years, everyone's been watching. And last year he had a good season, and then this year he's just kind of picked it up and said, oh, you thought I was good last year, let me show you what I can do. And it's really exciting to see for him, because he's one of those guys you just want to see kind of get a little more and just kind of shine a little bit more. And I think, you know, this season he definitely has done that for himself.
Excellent. And we've got another right winger as the first star of the week, moving over to Vancouver Island from the Victoria Royals. Matthew Hodgson gets the nod from you.
Yes. So again, another like 3-game stretch. It was one of those that Berezowski had a fantastic 3-game stretch and had some more points, but you know, a little bit more recent and a little bit, you know, in the same week. You have Matthew Hodgson, who picked up 4 goals and 3 assists for 7 points in 3 games, which again is, I don't care who you are, 7 points in 3 games is still fantastic. And while it feels kind of like the entire Royals roster is kind of picking it up at the same time right now, like you're getting guys back, and now Gannon LaRocque's out with an upper body injury again, or with some type of day-to-day injury. I don't know why I said upper body. I don't know that. It just is day-to-day. He's out with some type of injury again, and it's just one of those – Victoria, I think even last season, would go through phases where they'd get guys back, and then they'd kind of start losing guys, and they get guys back. They hit the get guys back. They started losing guys, and so far they've still been on that like decent trajectory where their season's getting better and it looks good. And part of it does have to do with the next segment that we're going to talk about, but I'll leave that for them.
Yes. I was observing that Hodgson's 7 points really stand out when you consider that he has 23 points for the year. So in exactly. 3 games, he got a third of his points for this season. So if he can keep that up, he's going to change his numbers and his position in the team standings pretty significantly. Looking at the BC division standings, I was seeing that Victoria's in a really similar situation to Everett, where they're duking it out with Kelowna in a 1-point battle for what probably will be the last playoff spot in the Western Conference. I saw that the Rockets do have 3 games in hand, but Victoria beat Kelowna twice on the weekend in massive 4-pointer games. So they're definitely keeping that playoff battle in mode and alive. Do you think that they were pretty much out of it earlier in the season?
Do you think
they have enough to come back?
I have been saying it all season. You cannot, well, and I think we were even saying it last year, is you cannot count out the Victoria Royals. There was a little bit of a rough stretch. I mean, it was a long period. They had 3 wins for the whole season for a decent amount of time. They made some changes. They moved some bodies. Some guys came in and out. They have their starting goaltender now. And I'm sorry, but kind of moving into that next section, but with Braden Holt in net, who knows what you can do, especially when your team is scoring again. Like, for a long time, the issue was the Royals couldn't find goals. They had outstanding goaltending in Tyler Palmer. They had Campbell Arnold last year. They had outstanding goaltending, but they could not find goals. And now they're finding the goals. They have an outstanding goaltender. They have plenty of time, plenty of runway left this season to just kind of climb their way in and be like, hey, by the way, we're still here.
Yeah. So as we move into our goalie of the week, let's take advantage of this segue and flip our two guys here. We'll get to Tyler Palmer in a second, but we may as well talk about Braden Holt since we're already on the topic of him and the Royals.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the trade, they literally just traded Tyler Palmer for Braden Holt, both 0-3 goaltenders, 19-year-old guys who are coming into their new teams and just kind of taking the reins. Braden Holt, this is the exact Braden Holt that I've been expecting this whole season, and he hasn't quite gotten there. And then he gets to Victoria, and I think that change was exactly what he needed. He's 5-1-0-1 with the Royals since the trade, and 2 shutouts in 7 games, which is, he had 1 shutout in, 28 games with the Silvertips this season. So he's sitting there being like, I've got this, we're fine. He's made some absolute highlight reel saves, which for the Victoria Royals isn't a new thing. Like, they're used to getting highlight of the night saves and just back to back, just like outstanding performances from goaltenders. But Braden Holt has kind of gotten to Victoria and found a new level for himself. And it's really fun to watch.
Yeah. When I was looking at his numbers, it was that 930 save percentage since he got to Victoria was the one that kind of jumped out at me just a tad. That's not a number we see too often in Major Junior in Canada. So good on him. And I will also add, I think the first time I ever saw his name was at the U18s in Texas a couple of years ago. And I just assumed it was some sort of crazy typo, because I just think it's hilarious that... Yeah, that he even spells his Braden the same way that Holtby does, and somebody just like left the last syllable off of the goaltender's name and somehow made him like 25 years younger in order to send him back to, maybe not that much, but you know what I mean. I think I might be overaging Holtby, so my apologies to him and his family. And I also think it's hilarious that I always think of like the Bradens and the Cadens and all those names as all being sort of Canadian prairie boys. So it's interesting that that Braden Holt is actually from Montana. So maybe it is the change of the border and being in Canada where a player with his name belongs that's bringing out the best in him. I don't know. Anyways, let's flip over to, as you mentioned, the goalie that he was traded for. Tyler Palmer now in Everett and doing well as well.
Yes, and I've had a few people kind of, you know, message me and kind of say, you know, it looks like Everett won that trade, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, Tyler Palmer, again, was out for over a month. He hadn't played a game. He hadn't been with the team. He came back. He had 2 games that were, you know, a little rough, but to be expected when you haven't played a game in a long time, and he's hit his stride. He's 5-4 in 9 games since joining the Silvertips have played 9 games since getting him. He has played in started every single game for the Silvertips, including 6 of those games were 3 sets of back-to-backs. So Tyler Palmer has gone from playing no games for almost a month and a half to playing every single game. So maybe let him settle in. You know, he's hitting his stride. He's doing his job. Again, playing this type of heavy workload isn't new for him. He's done this before. He did it to end last season. He did it to start this season. But he's getting his legs under him, and he has performed exactly how you expect Tyler Palmer to perform. He's coming out. He's making those massive saves that you absolutely need to make. He's doing everything right. And he's getting better and better and better with this team and with an Everett team that, you know, has maybe lost a step. They've, you know, obviously trading Olin Zellweger, trading Ryan Hofer, big blows to that roster. It doesn't matter. They're going to be just fine. And Tyler Palmer is kind of holding them in that. On one hand, I'm looking at it and I'm going, please don't burn him out. Please don't like play him every single game. And so if you do make playoffs, by the time you get to that point, he's just exhausted. At the same time, on the other hand, he was out for a while. Getting this many games is a good thing. He's getting that confidence back. And I think, again, like I said, that confidence is where it all comes down to.
Yeah, definitely two interesting guys to keep an eye on as those playoff races intensify over the next couple of months. Up next this week, we've got our NHL team of the week. We are still hanging out in the Atlantic Division with the Montreal Canadiens, and we've got a juicy WHL prospect in their pool who's playing his trade in Seattle right now.
It's Jared Davidson, who's drafted in 20 last year in the fifth round, 130 overall, which I thought was very late. I definitely expected his name to be called maybe third, fourth round. Fifth round, the fact that he got drafted, I was elated, but he had an outstanding year last year and no one really talked about it. It was even to the point where I will admit, I was not planning on doing a feature on him last year. I had sent a request to the Seattle Thunderbirds being like, hey, can I talk to this player? And they had said, he's really, really busy with media, but we have this other guy who we think that you should talk to. And then I looked at his stats, I talked to him, and I went, I get it. And everyone needs to focus on him a little more. And it was just one of those you didn't really hear much. This year, he's definitely getting a little more of that highlight that he deserves. I'm very excited to see it. He has 54 points in 35 games with 21 goals and 33 assists. Absolutely having one of those years where he's on a stacked roster. He's not the big name on the stacked roster, and he's still going, but look at me, guys. Look what I can do. And it's been really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, very cool to see Jared Davidson is actually leading that Seattle team in points. So that's not a bad draft plus 1 year at all for a guy who, like you said, was a fifth round pick and flew under the radar a little bit in his draft season. If he gets another long playoff run like last year, I'm sure people will start paying attention. Montreal comes to the WHL pretty often for their draft choices. So we've got four or five guys here to mention who are alumni of the Dub that are with the organization now.
I mean, I can talk about, like Johnny Fairbrother because Everest Silvertips, he is one of my US division boys. But he's unfortunately out. He had a knee injury early, I think ahead of the season. He's not going to be playing this year. He's basically just rehabbing, getting better. If and when he comes back for the Montreal Canadiens or the Laval Rocket, I'm ecstatic to see what he can do because he was very fun to watch, but also he was very, you wanted that next step from him. You wanted that next thing. And I feel like I say this fairly regularly, but we're a developmental league in the WHL. You always want to see, hey, what can you do more than this? And he was just one of those guys where it was like, it feels like you have another level to your game. Are you going to find it? So this injury, while yes, it's a little bit of a letdown, I can't wait to see what he does when he comes back, because if he finds that extra level, he finds that next step for himself, it's going to be a phenomenal time for him.
Injuries are a bit of a theme on this list, unfortunately, too. For as Montreal tries to sort of gather their prospects and get going, King Gooley got off to a nice start, but has been out now since early January, with a lower body issue that's supposed to have him out for a couple months. And veteran heart and soul guy Brendan Gallagher's had a tough run as well. He's only played three games, I think, in the last 2.5 months or so since the beginning of December. So he's going to be out for another month or so as well. Much beloved in Vancouver, especially as a former Giant and a guy who spends his summers here, and his dad runs one of the big summer skate camps during the summertime. So the Gallaghers are key players in our environment in the summertime. A couple more guys as well from Montreal's Dub gang.
I mean, you have Kirby Doc, who's one of those guys that I feel like everyone knows his name. Right now, everyone's been talking about his little brother. It's been one heck of a year for the Doc siblings. But at the same time, Kirby is one of those guys where personally, I always remember him until I don't. And then it's just one of those, I don't think about Kirby Doc for X amount of time. And then I'm just like, okay, cool. And then I go, hey, what happened to Kirby Doc? Like, how's he doing this year? He spent time with the Saskatoon Blades and was a first round third overall pick for the Canadiens.
Well, for the Blackhawks initially.
Yeah, my brain went, that's not right. For the
I
Blackhawks, got traded over the summer. and all of that went down. I just don't want to talk about the Blackhawks when I'm talking about the Canadians, because that whole trade over the summer at the trade at the draft, I don't like talking about that because it lost the Sharks our pick, and I wanted Kevin Korchinski. Anyway, Blackhawks. he has 8 goals and 21 assists in 45 games this year, which good for Kirby Doc. I feel like this is a little bit more of that upswing that we were looking for from him when he got to the pros. And I think that, you know, he's having that kind of, again, go back to it, confidence building year, where maybe after that trade, he might have been sitting there being like, oh, man, I got traded, you know, over the summer. They clearly wanted someone else. They thought that someone could do this. And then he came into Montreal and said, oh, no, I can do it. It's fine. We're good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's at 29 points this year, so it's a career high for him, but it's still not quite third overall numbers. So I think I think there's some upside still that needs to happen before he gets the real stamp of approval. Joel Edmundson is the other member of the Canadians who came out of the WHL as well from Moose Jaw and Kamloops back in 2011. I'm kind of moving things along here because, you know, we're getting short on time, and as usual, we have to spend a little bit of time talking about our boy Connor Bedard, because, you know, he did stuff. Just another week where Bedard did stuff. What did he do this week, Liz?
Well, one, my big moment of looking at the numbers this week is he hit exactly his 600th shot on goal, recorded. Sometimes there's a little bit of a question of, like, did they miss a shot? You know, whatever. Officially, it's 600 on the season. So good job, Connor Bedard. It's insane. It's not for the year. It's for his WHL career. But he's only been in the dub for 3 seasons, and one of them was long. So
yeah, and we're only halfway through this one.
It's absolutely insane. But it was just my fun little. I saw that and went, okay, sure. He has 78 points in 31 games, and I don't know if that's ever not going to be silly to say. Next week, I want to say he's got, like, 85 points because, you know, he's going to be gone. There's the top prospects game. There's a little bit of a break. But he has 8 points in 2 games last week. I think another 10-point week out of you, and he gave us 8 in 2 games, though. So it's casual. It's fine.
You froze up there for a second, so I just want to share with our listeners that Liz was calling for Connor to get 10 points in 2 games last week, and he disappointed her by coming in with 8. But I think you should get extra credit for 2 game winning goals in those 2 games, though, too, right?
You know, just maybe. I guess we can count that, you know, as a little bit of a double, little bit of a bonus for him, but. It's Connor Bedard. It's still one of those, you know what? If we don't keep setting the bar here for him, where's he going to aim for? Like, what's the point? Not that, you know, I'm sure he listens to us and goes, oh, that's my plan. Like, that's my goal. But if you don't expect this much from Connor Bedard, he's just going to end up, you're going to expect this much. He's going to be here. So you have to just raise it every single week. So, you know what? Mr. Connor Bedard, I think next week I want to see another 10 points. I'm gonna leave it there for right now because I think all they've right. got 2 games this week outside of the top prospects. So you know what, we're gonna still keep it at that 10. I think you got those extra 2 points in you.
Yeah, last week after we talked about the hypothetical of whether he could break Ray Ferraro's 108 game WHL scoring goal scoring record if he was to go back to the dub next year, it got me thinking about. Already, like at 17 years old, I'm like, what is his legacy going to be in the history of British Columbia hockey players? And I know I'm a little bit ahead of myself, but everything he does warrants this kind of attention. So I did some digging into the history of players in BC and the numbers. We've only ever had one first overall draft pick from British Columbia in the past, and that was Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. So I did a piece on this for the Hockey News that went up on the website last weekend if you want to look into all of the numbers. But comparing RNH's draft year with Bedard's is like night and day. It is absolutely not the same thing. And then I was looking at sort of who would he need to catch if he was to become the best BC born player of all time? And it looks like the man at the top of that totem pole is Joe Sakic. And again, no big deal, but
fine.
You look at Sackett's numbers, and even though he had like crazy numbers in his draft year, he was still like only fourth in WHL scoring, and his numbers were still lower than what Bedard is doing right now, even though Sackett was playing in the 80s when like Rob Brown set
when
the
everything was going in
WHL scoring record that same year with 212 points. And I think even Connor's not going to hit that, but you know, it's like he's right. I know. I should never say never. But Sakic only ended up getting drafted 15th overall. The top two players in his draft class were Pierre Turgeon and Brendan Shanahan. Sakic ended up first in points out of that draft class. He did surpass those guys. So perhaps there were some biases or things in play where they underestimated Sakic and maybe he deserved to go higher. But again, it fascinates me that what we're seeing from Bedard right now is bigger than the reputation that Sakic had at that point in his career. And look where that turned out. So I just think it's all signs point to success for our boy from North Vancouver. Is sort of my big takeaway from all that is if you needed me to tell you that. Anyways, I'm so looking forward to getting a chance to watch him play again next week at Top Prospects and to seeing some of the huge collection of WHL players that will be gathered, and very curious to see the guys from the OHL and the Q as well, and sort of see how everybody compares out in Langley. We're going to have a full day of practices and media availabilities on Tuesday, and then the game will be Wednesday night. So by the time we reconvene for our next episode, we should have lots to break down on that front. Anything else that I'm overlooking? Any other dev notes that we should mention before we sign up?
I think that's really all I had. I could talk about the dub for hours, but I think as far as keeping it on track and on time, I think, you know, that's the big points right now. I promise you we'll get back to talking about some of the East teams here soon. But, when you have guys scoring at a Connor Bedard pace who aren't Connor Bedard, you got to talk about that.
Absolutely. And again, Connor does rep the East for us every week. So it's not like we're completely ignoring his conference. It's there.
That's true.
If you would like to watch this episode as well as exploring past episodes of all our shows, you can do that at thn.com/podcast. Thanks again for listening. Join us here again next week, and we'll have all the news for you once again from the WHL.